Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 29. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thine excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, and verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thine excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. This verse is found at the end of this blessed chapter where dear Father Israel had blessed in Genesis his seed. And here we have Moses before his departure into glory, being used by the Lord to convey the blessings to each of the tribes that were to enter into the promised land. And this is a very sacred, blessed word, really. Happy art thou, O Israel. I want firstly to look to who it was addressed to. It wasn't addressed to all men. It's not addressed to all men today. It's addressed to Israel. That is God's dear, chosen, redeemed children. And let us be very clear, it is only they that shall ever know true happiness. Well could Moses, under the Holy Spirit, conclude this beautiful chapter after giving the blessing to each one of those tribes and say to them, happy art thou, O Israel. But I want to really begin by looking a little at the other side, first of all. And that is why we read that first chapter and part of chapter 2 in the first book of Samuel. With every true-born child of God, their religion will begin with sorrow. I know many may question that. But really, when you look in God's holy word, when he was to pour out his blessing and make his people happy, it was firstly they walked through the path of sorrow. And when you think of it in the case of dear Hannah, all the sorrow she walked through, and that sorrow was not just a natural sorrow. Let's be very clear about that. the world and the ungodly, they have their natural sorrows, and so does man by nature. But with the house of Israel, they will know godly sorrow, sorrow of heart. You think of dear Hannah, she was grieved in her heart. The main grief was not that she hadn't got her Samuel. The main grief was within her because of her sin. And that's why I say, for the most part, real religion begins with sorrow. You look at the publican, the sorrow he had because of his sin. Look at the dying thief. Look at Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus road. They knew real heart sorrow. And there's no sorrow like heart sorrow. But the wonderful thing is, with the house of Israel, they won't always have sorrow. There's this wonderful gift of God to be given to sorrowing sinners. And that is, their sorrow will be turned into joy. They will know real happiness. So as Moses concludes this, just before he enters into glory, happy art thou, O Israel. He could look back and see the times they'd had of much grief and much sorrow, but he could look back and see those times of real happiness. Oh, he could. And you think of dear Hannah, oh, the sorrow that she endured. But you know, the Lord knew how to make her happy, didn't he? Oh, he did. It's a wonderful thing, happiness, you know. We hope to sing at the close, don't we? Happiness, thou lovely name. And you see, learning pleasure, wealth or fame will never bring that. Happiness must come from the Lord. So he says, happy art thou, O Israel. So to those that may... In a sense, have sank in your feelings when I announce the text, if you're in sorrow, may the Lord set before you the blessed prospect. It will not always be sorrow. The day will come, like it did with dear Hannah, when she was to know real happiness. And if you look in her case, the sorrow she was in, firstly, was heart sorrow because of the hidings of the Lord's face. And why does he hide his face from his dear people? Often because of our sin, isn't it? Or our backslidings or our wanderings. And the Lord had hidden his face from her. She felt destitute, alone, forsaken. And the devil took full advantage of it. And he will, child of God. He knows just how to take full advantage of every situation. And... She had an adversary that continually provoked her. And all the sorrow she endured because of that. And then, of course, there was the great grief of her barrenness. But you know the Lord, and I thought how sweet it was, and I've often mentioned it. We read, and there's a beautiful couplet in that chapter. And the Lord remembered her. Oh, he did. In all what she was in. And you think of what you may be in this morning. What'll make you happy when the Lord remembers you? And he remembered Hannah. Oh, he did. And then he was to give her a Samuel, wasn't he? And you look at the happiness there was in her in that second chapter and those few verses we read. She could truly know real happiness, and the depth of it was known within her. So her very soul rejoiced in her God. There's another beautiful couplet in that first chapter. When Eli, who had misjudged her completely, thought she was drunken in her sorrow, he was sent back by the Lord with a beautiful message for her. And it was this: go in peace, and the God of Israel — notice the wording of it concerning our text — the God of Israel grant thee thy request that thou hast asked of him. And what do we read? Her countenance was no more sad. Beautiful word, isn't it? May those of you that may be passing through the sorrow and anguish which she did, sweetly experience that. You may say, well, she hadn't got a Samuel as yet, but faith in her looked for the day, anticipated the day. And what did she sweetly experience? With the Lord speaking that word to her through Eli, the Lord was on his way in the matter. He was going to work, and she believed it. And her countenance was no more sad. She looked above all the sorrow to him who was able to turn that grief and anguish and sorrow she was in into pure happiness. And the Lord can do it today. And I felt when this text dropped in, you know, what a wonderful thing it would be to see many of God's dear children happy. Why? Because they've got Christ in them, the hope of glory. Happy art thou, O Israel, the redeemed children of God, O Israel. Well, so much for the side of the sorrow. I want to come to the other side of it. So, what was the here to make them happy? Well, first of all, that the Lord was their God. If you've got, poor soul, the Lord as your God, you'll know what it is from time to time to be happy. Like the hymn writer when he said, I'm happy, all is well. And you can feel it, can't you? When you've got the Lord with you, as your God. And of course, Moses, and going before Moses, dear father Israel, Jacob, you look in the life of Jacob, he knew both sides of this. He knew what it was when they took away Benjamin, to be in such sorrow of heart. But oh, he was to know that real happiness when he saw the wagons coming from Egypt to fetch him. Joseph was yet alive. So Moses could look back, and Father Israel looked back, and Moses could look back here and see how the Lord had been his God all those years through the wilderness. And not only through the wilderness for him personally, but for each of these tribes of the house of Israel. The Lord was their God. And if he's your God, poor soul, he'll do everything for you. He'll supply your every need. He'll help you in times of great straits and difficulties. And if he's your God, he'll uphold you when you feel to be sinking. And if he's your God, he will work for you and in you and guide you safe and bring you through. He did these here. You see, the occasion when this was spoken by Moses was just before they were to enter into the promised land of Canaan. They were on the borders of the land. And what a prospect there was before them, wasn't it? You think of it concerning each of our souls. What a blessed day it would be, won't it? To be on the border of Canaan's happy land of heaven. We know Moses was not to enter into it, but he'd seen the landscape. What does the hymn writer say? Oh, that we might climb where Moses stood and view the landscape o'er, not get death's cold streams nor Jordan's flood will fright us from the shore. He viewed it all, you know. And knew what they were to enter into. The reason why Moses didn't enter into it was because God had sent him to represent the law. Oh, he had. And Joshua was to take the children of Israel into the promised land, a beautiful type of Christ. Moses is in glory now. He entered the heavenly Canaan. And he viewed it all, the natural Canaan, and all that was before these dear people. Happy art thou. He could leave them with that happy prospect of going into the promised land. Another thing that was to make them happy, and that they were to know happiness, was they could look back through the wilderness journey they'd come, those 40 years, and they could see how the Lord had brought them through it all. Through flood and fire, trouble and affliction. But the Lord had brought them through, and he could see as he blesses these tribes how the Lord had wonderfully done it and the happiness they were to enjoy, how he brought them through. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Brought safely by my hand thus far, why dost thou now give place to fear? Can you look back this morning? You see, these things are to be experienced by God's dear children all these years later. Oh, they are. And it'll be experienced right to the end of time, until the last elect vessel of mercy is gathered home to glory. But they know what it is to be happy. Happy art thou. This was their experience. Is there one here can truly say this morning, I'm happy, all is well? Well, let me come low. Do you desire to know this? And do I? Well, the Lord's the witness. How many times do you plead and pray, Lord, grant me a taste of this happiness? But let us go further. Another thing that was to make the child of God happy were when he sweetly whispered, thy sins are forgiven thee. And you know what it is for that mountain of guilt and of sin to all be gone. And the Lord can do it. Oh, he can. Oh, the mountains and great stones of sin that trouble the child of God. But you know, the Lord's appearing. He may not say a word. He visits your troubled breast with his mighty love. And what happens? Your doubts subside and your fears remove, and I'm completely blessed. You know, to have a sweet taste of heavenly love in our souls will make the sinner happy. Oh, it will. Wonderful thing, you know, the taste of his love. Pardoning love to sinners. Really, you know, dear Moses could write this word knowing that these dear souls, the house of Israel, had known the love of Christ in their souls. Oh, they had. And may the Lord favour us to know more and more those sweet seasons where we, as it were, bask in his love. Oh, yes. The spouse knew it in the Song of Solomon. He brought me, she said, into the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. And oh, to be led by faith to Calvary and see the love manifested there by the dear Redeemer, as he lays down his precious life for his dear children, the house of Israel. Oh, Israel. And if we have a glimpse of those pierced hands, and I speak it with much reverence, and pierced side of the dear Redeemer, that he endured it for our soul, we shall know a little of the happiness that's set forth in these words. Happy art thou, O Israel. The professor of religion won't well understand it, nor will the world or the ungodly, but the real child of God will, the house of Israel, O Israel. Another blessed thing that was to make them happy was the sweet presence of the Lord with them. Oh yes. You know, you can be in the bed of affliction when a great trouble or trial, and the Lord comes and he favours you with his love in your soul and his sweet and sacred presence. And all the happiness there is within you. You are lifted, as it were, above the cloud what is upon you. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to go, and those of us that have flown many miles, different countries, you know, it's a wonderful thing. Once when we flew out of Heathrow, as the plane went up, it was all thick darkness and cloud. And then we got above it. And all the beautiful sunshine, and you look down on all that blackness, and the vast extent of the cloud, and you could look down on it all. Now, in the same way, and in a far greater way spiritually, that's what the Lord does when he comes and visits the souls of his people. Favours them with his presence. He lifts them above the affliction, the trial, the opposition of Satan. And they can look down on it all. Now, the natural man won't understand that, but the child of God will. And it's a sweet experience, you know. Wonderful to do it naturally, come above those clouds, but think about it in our soul. And may the Lord favour us as we venture on from this day with more and more of those times. Now Moses could look back regarding the house of Israel, and he could look back and he could see those blessed times where the Lord had lifted them above it all. And then he could look back too and see those wonderful deliverances they'd had. Where the Lord had so delivered them from Pharaoh, from all his house, he'd so delivered them from the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Perizzites, and so we may go on. Delivered them from them all. And in those deliverances, you know, they knew pure happiness, they did. Happy art thou, O Israel. And can you look back a few times? You know, there may be those of you that feel if only we could follow the Lord in his sacred ways and ordinances, but have you not got those times you can look back on? When he has delivered you from the powers of sin, from the powers of Satan, from the unbelief in your own heart, and from all the enemies that surround you. and you're happy. All is well. Happy art thou, O Israel. Another reason for their happiness was they had a covenant God and a covenant that God had made with them. In all things ordered well. He covenanted to bring them into the promised land. Oh, he had. He entered into that covenant with them. To bring them into that land. And he was to do it. And the sweet prospect as they stand on the shores and border of the land. How they could be happy because of that wonderful covenant he'd made with them. And they could praise his blessed name, couldn't they? Now just stepping back to the deliverance, you read that 15th chapter in the book of Exodus when the Lord had delivered them from Pharaoh and his host. Oh, how happy the children of Israel were then, weren't they? The Lord had worked. He had performed his wondrous work of deliverance and of salvation. Happy then art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee? Who is like unto thee? You know, there's no people like his people. Oh no. The Lord, he says here, happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee? You know, in the sight of the Lord, there is no people upon this earth like his dear chosen children. They're the salt of the earth. And salt has a wonderful preserving effect. And time will be no more once the salt is removed. Who is like unto thee? May the Lord whisper that to us each personally. Who is like unto thee? You can look at it in two ways, really. Regarding the Lord speaking it to his dear children, and them in their hearts, thinking of the Lord being like that to them. Who is like unto thee, O God? You see, in real love there's a flowing one to the other, isn't there? Looking at it naturally. Well, let us look at it just briefly and I must leave it, but we think, who is like unto thee? You know, if the Lord whisper that to your soul, he's claiming you, see. We sing in one of the hymns, don't we? Come and claim us as thy portion, and let us lay claim to thee. Who is like unto thee? And if the Lord whisper that to your poor trembling heart, he's manifesting his eternal love and favour toward you. There's no people to the Lord like his dear redeemed children. Many may try and work different things in religion and think they'll get to heaven by their own works. They never will. It's what the Lord has done in the sinner. It's his wondrous work that'll get the child of God to heaven. Not what they have done. Solemn thing if we rest on works, isn't it? The Apostle Paul said it to the Ephesians, didn't he? Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. Who is like unto thee? You may say, what, such a poor, wretched sinner as me, none like me. You know, if the dear Redeemer came into this earth to suffer, bleed and die for your poor soul, there's none like unto thee. You think, we tried to look at on Friday, those dear women at the sepulchre. They were poor sinners. The Lord had cast out from Mary Magdalene 7 devils. But you know, there was none like them to the Saviour. They were his dear children. He'd purchased them with his own heart's blood. And same with his dear disciples, the same with every true-born child of God. They're special in the sight of the Saviour. Oh, they are. They're the purchase of his own heart's blood. Who is like unto thee? But then just briefly, look at the other side of it. You think of dear Ruth. There were no people and no God like the God of heaven to dear Ruth and the Lord's dear people. Thy people, she says, shall be my people. And thy God, my God. She wanted to be with them for time, didn't she? She wanted to be with them for eternity. And so were your poor soul, and so were mine, if we're his children. Who is like unto thee? You know, there's no God like the God of heaven to his dear children. None like unto him. Why? Because he does everything for them. He's purchased them with his own heart's blood. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. May the Lord whisper that to some poor needy soul today. Who is like unto thee? O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thine excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Now this is what the Lord has said. It's not my word. May he whisper it to each of our souls. Amen.